quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
This is Stuart Venner. I tell it as I see it, and I see it as it is.
It was interesting, but it was also stupid.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash. He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrodes. They did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash. They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sound. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five. They played the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash. They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Drax's voice did ring. Seems he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, "Whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?" It's now the monster mash. And it's a graveyard smash. It's caught on in a flash. It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool, Drax's a part of the band. And my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Bordin sent you. Then you can monster mash, and do my graveyard smash. You'll catch on in a flash. Then you can monster mash.
Mash, good. Easy, Igor, you impetuous young boy.
This is Stuart Venner. I want to welcome you to this week's show. We've got a really great lineup of guests in store. We're speaking to Terry Brock. Terry is going to talk about the importance of clout for social media. This is especially important if you're a business. We're also talking to Dr. Kajiki. Dr. Kajiki is an expert on thyroid issues. And if you have a problem with your thyroid or taking medicine and not getting better, maybe you're taking the wrong medicine. We're also going to hear from Kevin L. Kevin L. is a Christian hip-hop R&B artist. We're going to hear his latest song. And Kevin, incidentally, is the son-in-law of the late Ray Charles. Finally, we're speaking to Carol Maloney. Carol Maloney has written a book called Finding Your Voice. She suffers from aphasia, which hits 1 in 4 stroke survivors. And we've added some kind of funny sounds because you talk kind of funny after you have aphasia. Please stay tuned. I know you're going to enjoy the show.
We have a company that you can join for free. And kids in every neighborhood belong. It's the Funny Company, cause it's just for fun, you see. So come a running when you hear our song.
Come to order, come to order,
says our president. And when the Funny Company meets, here's just what we present.
Things to see.
And things to do.
Sorry.
Fun.
Toys.
All sorts of things of interest.
I have a pleasure to have Terry Brock on the line. Terry is a very interesting guy. He is an expert in getting you clout
in your social media, and that's pretty important today. Terry, welcome to the show.
Stuart, great to be with you today.
It is great having you. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing and how clout does matter.
Well, clout matters because it's a tool that gives people the ability to measure what's going on in social media. And clout, that's spelled with a K, by the way, K-L-O-U-T, clout is a tool that says, okay, we know you're using Twitter and Facebook and you're using a bunch of others, but how effective, how influential are you really? Rather than just saying, well, my gut tells me this or that, they have a way to quantify.
Well, it's so important today. I mean, I'm not talking about the kids with their Facebook pages, but businesses today all have Facebook, and I know even our show, we do. I don't keep it up myself, but it's very important.
Yeah, it is. It's the way that the world works today, and I like to use a lot of analogies from the real world. Say, Stuart, if you and I were forming a business in the year 1820, we would need to be where our customers are going to hang out. And today, customers hang out on social media. At 1820, they hung out maybe at a local pub, and you'd say, okay, every Thursday we need to be over at the pub here on the street. Well, today we need to be on social media, and what clout does is it gives you a way to measure how effective are you, and here's a number, so that that way, those that are making decisions on who is more effective, like producers and directors of major motion pictures,
right. They're
saying, okay, which of these actors should we get? And they have another tool that they can use. Not that it would be the only one, but they at least have another tool.
That's very interesting. Is this like a code you would put into your page that would measure the number of hits? Or is that what you're talking about?
Actually, you just register what you're doing with, say, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and any other networks that they're monitoring. You go over to clout.com, and you simply register it. You just say, okay, you can watch and see what's happening. So for instance, if I go over to your Facebook page, and you and I become friends, and I click like on a particular post that you made, that would give you some clout juice. That gives you some benefit there.
I see.
And so that if people see that or they click, they like your photo or they repost it, you know, then that's important and would help you in your clout score.
And you actually determine a score for this?
Oh, yeah. They have 12 billion, that's with a B, data points that they're checking on a daily basis to find out how you're doing. And it's a lot of very complicated algorithms, but it gives a much better way of measuring, okay, who really is making an impact here in an online world so that we can decide who is more influential. A lot of brands are using it now so that, like, for instance, Chevy Volt said, we want to reach people who like cars or talking about them and interested in the environment. They worked with Clout. Clout said, here are some of the people, and then Chevy said, okay, for all those people that were very influential, here's a set of car keys that you can use for a long weekend. Have a good time. You're not required to write anything about it, and you don't have to write anything good, but if you want to, that's fine. But here you go. Enjoy the car. And it's a much better use of their advertising dollars than the old spray and pray method, trying to blast a whole bunch of people.
Well, sure, you're targeting it. You're targeting people that have that interest to begin with.
Absolutely. And so, and it's better for everyone, because if you're interested in cars and you get an advertisement on a car you like, hey, that's nice. If I am not interested in cars, I don't want to ride one, I can't drive at all, and somebody sends me an advertisement about a car, we call that spam. And this way, by using clout, you're able to target people who are really interested, so they're winning, and the advertisers are spending their money much more cost effectively.
And this will work, Terry, with all the social media, Twitter, LinkedIn, all of them?
It works with Twitter, with Facebook. It works with LinkedIn, Foursquare, Tumblr. It works actually on Bing as well. Bing, which is owned by Microsoft, has worked with them, and it measures that. And so they have a few. It doesn't work with things like, for instance, notably YouTube. And we sat down and talked with them about that. They would like to use YouTube, but activity you have on YouTube by itself does not affect your clout score.
I see. Well, that makes sense, because I know you go on YouTube, you look for all kinds of weird things, but it's really not necessarily what your buying interests are, I would think.
Yeah, exactly. Although what you can do is you can direct people from YouTube over to your Facebook page, or give them your Twitter handle, so that then they come over and they see that, and then by interacting that way, that would help you on your clout score as well.
I can see this being amazingly important. In fact, I'm going to look into it from some of my own businesses that I have. This is really good. You've written a book, haven't you, about this?
Yes, I wrote this, co-authored it with Gina Carr, and we call it Clout Matters. And if you go, actually, if you go over to cloutmatters.com, you'll be able to see not only what the book is about, but interact with others and get a good education of how to use social media right. Because it's really more about being a good social media citizen, doing things right. You attract more customers that way. You build your digital influence. And then, oh, by the way, your clout score will go up also, which gives you extra goodies that way.
That is wonderful. And for everyone listening, it's Clout Matters, spelled with a K, KLOUTMATTERS.com. And we're speaking to the author, one of the co-authors, Terry Brock. And Terry, I think this is probably one of the most important things I've heard of. In fact, of many people I interview, this is something I'm going to actually go use myself as soon as we hang
up. Thank you. Stuart, that's very kind, but also I think it's good. Yeah, we wrote the book, but, you know, a year ago we sat back and we were offered this by the folks at McGraw-Hill who published the book, and we thought about it, and my feeling was, well, wait a minute, I'm really interested. My training, my MBA is marketing and studying that, learning what you do with customers, and then I realized as we got into it, that's what clout really is about. It's about working with people, engaging with them, not broadcasting a message out, just spraying it out there to everyone, but it's social media at its heart. Engaging with people as a real, genuine human being. And that is what works today. Not just saying, hi, I'm wonderful, buy my stuff. We got a new widget here, buy this. But instead going, hey, I hear what you're talking about. You're looking for that. Well, you know, here's something that could work. Here's a link to an article. I don't sell the stuff, but here's a link to something that could help you. By helping, you do much better than just going out there and crass selling and trying to broadcast your message.
Well, I think this is wonderful. Again, we're talking to Terry Brock, and everyone, if you have a business and you need to reach customers and clients, I recommend that you go to Clout Matters, K-L-O-U-T, matters.com. And this book, I think, is quite important. And you got a big-time publisher, too, McGraw-Hill. That's really good.
Yeah, you know, it's been interesting. I have really, just between you and me, I've had some wonderful experience with them, people that are really, really smart and also very kind, being able to help. And so I find, you know, it's wonderful to see what's happening in the world. In the midst of all that's going on in the world we hear on the news, it's nice to know there's genuinely good people. And by looking at what clout is really for and what it stands for and dealing with the people directly in San Francisco at clout, we got a chance to see it's really about connecting with people, engaging with them, listening to what they're doing. And you know what, Stuart? That is the way to build business today. Genuinely
care. Yes, you always need a personal relationship. I mean, there's nothing better than that. And when you can help people and make a little money at the same time, I think that's wonderful.
I agree.
Terry, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Part of you, and together we endured through thick and thin. Our love has been everlasting. lasting and assured. But suddenly you've forgotten me, and my heart is now a void. Oh no, and no longer can I be your thyroid. I try to think about the thing that I possibly could have done to make you take me out of you and then go out on the run. I never rocked the boat when I lived inside your throat, and you never seemed annoyed, oh no. But no longer can I be your thyroid. I guess no longer can I be your thyroid.
Welcome back to the show. I've got a very interesting and informative guest online. We're speaking to Dr. Gil Kajiki. Dr. Kajiki is an expert and a specialist in conditions with the thyroid, and we're going to find out how important the thyroid is and how a lot of the treatment you're getting for fatigue is really not the right treatment. Dr. Kajiki, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Tell us a little bit about the area that you're working in and what you're doing.
Well, I typically work with thyroid cases that don't respond to medication. And that's kind of my preference of working with people. And there are so many women out there where they on their medication, their thyroid levels are normal according to their blood work, but they're still feeling pretty lousy.
Like constant fatigue, things like that?
Yeah, constant fatigue, hair falling out, weight gain, insomnia, digestive issues. I mean, the whole gamut of what's going on with their thyroid, yet their thyroid levels are normal on their blood, and their medication isn't working. And now their doctors tell them that, you know, how could you still be feeling this way? There's no way. Everything is normal. And then they start getting classified as depressive and, it's kind of exaggerated.
You said women. Is this mostly hitting women, or does it hit men as well?
Men is about 1 out of 10 cases. Very few men does this happen to.
I don't think that's why my hair fell out.
Probably not.
I don't think so. But, they're being treated by their doctors with traditional medicine, with pills, with things that just aren't working for them.
Right. And unfortunately, there's only about a 17% chance that the thyroid medications, will work with women.
Really?
Yes, that's a kind of a little-known fact. Only 70% of the cases will medication only work, and that's because it rarely is just a thyroid problem. Rarely.
So you have an actual clinic, and you specialize only in thyroid, correct?
I'm not only in thyroid, but I specialize mainly in thyroid-related symptom cases. So, people will come into me with their digestive issues and not know that it's a thyroid-related issue or think it's just a digestive-related issue. So, but my preference is thyroid-related issues because of my background with my wife, who came down with Hashimoto's about 8 years ago, and the doctors didn't know what to do and couldn't get it figured out.
Now, Hashimoto's, what is that exactly?
Hashimoto's is a autoimmune condition where your own immune system mistakenly attacks your thyroid gland.
Wow.
And so, 70 to 90% of all the hypothyroid or the sluggish, slow thyroid cases are Hashimoto's in nature. And so the problem there lies that the doctors are treating the thyroid, which isn't the problem. The immune system is the problem.
So do you use steroids?
No, we don't use any kind of medication at all. We have an all-natural protocol where we nutritionally support the thyroid. But as I mentioned, it's rarely just the thyroid. So we work on the anemia and the digestive issues, the inflammation, blood sugar levels, adrenal gland issues, food sensitivities. So we work on a lot of all the surrounding areas, and very few times do we even have to get into the thyroid.
Oh, very interesting. So, they're being treated really with the wrong medicine for the wrong disease.
That's absolutely right. And unfortunately, in traditional medicine, their answer is, you know, this disease process equals this prescription. And if it doesn't work, it's not their fault. It's your fault as the patient. It can't be them.
Very interesting. You know, I took my first wife, I'm going back a very long time, she had a condition that I took her to a pretty expensive urologist. They said it was urological at Beverly Hills. And after a while, we found that it was something completely different. And I told the urologist, I was really angry. I said, what kind of way is to treat somebody and put her through all of this for no reason? I said it's like if I took my car to the garage and I needed a brake cylinder and they replaced the air conditioning filter. I said, why would I pay him for that? And he says, well, the car is not the human body. I said, that's why I didn't take her to the garage.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, and unfortunately, when you get into traditional medicine specialists, they don't see past their specialty.
So what's your success rate of success with this?
We're about high 90s.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be cases where, you know, we don't get the kind of desired results that we want, but I can tell you that, you know, many times it's, poor compliance or just issues that we are beyond our control that we didn't even see.
Well, if someone is hypothyroid and they're taking a pill, do you take them off the pill or do they still need that pill?
No, that's not for me to determine. They still may need that pill, and that'll be for them and their doctor to determine, but we'll give enough evidence to support that maybe they need to be redosed at a lower level, and then they will make that decision.
Now, when you're taking a thyroid hormone, is a synthetic or a natural one better?
You know what? There's not one is any better than the other. Some people respond better to synthetics. Some people respond better to natural. But I tell people, look, just because it's natural, that doesn't mean it's better for you.
Very interesting. Dr. Kajika, how can people learn more about you, or if they're having this problem, how can they contact you and maybe get some proper treatment?
Well, fortunately, we can see people all across the country. We're not limited to our demographic area in Los Angeles.
Really? How do you do that?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of what we do is nutrition and nutritional supplement related. So really what they need is the proper lab testing, which we can get them, and the nutritional supplements and the guidance. And so we can do that through Skype and email and phone. And, you know, I've had patients who are in London and Canada and, Louisiana and Phoenix and Indiana. We've had just as good success with them outside of our office than if they came in the office.
That is remarkable. How can people learn more about you? Can you give us that information?
Probably the best way is to go to my website, which is ValleyThyroidInstitute.com. And if they go to schedule a free evaluation, then they can actually get a free 15-minute phone call from me, and I could let them know maybe what the next step would be and if my step is even the right direction or not.
That is phenomenal. So everyone out there, if you are primarily a woman and you're suffering from fatigue and you're taking your thyroid medicine and it's not working, I would recommend that you talk to Dr. Gil Kajiki and you go to, ValleyThyroidInstitute.com.
Correct.
And you'll get a free evaluation, and you'll talk to him, and maybe he'll just be the guy that can cure you and make you feel like a human again, right?
Yeah. I mean, if anything, I might be able to give you some assurance that maybe what's going on isn't your fault. It's maybe lack of proper evaluation, lack of proper testing. Maybe somebody's not quite taking you the right direction.
And, maybe these other doctors don't even know much about this Hashimoto syndrome.
Yes. Unfortunately, a lot of these doctors, they do know about it. They know it's an autoimmune condition, yet they still continue to treat the thyroid, which is beyond me.
Wrong. Amazing. Dr. Kajiki, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
I'm gonna tell you something. A lot of y'all out there think you're alone, but you got to know that he's watching. And this is for you. No matter where you're at in the world, you need to know that you got somebody. Now check this out. Hallelujah.
You got somebody watching over you.
Watching over you.
Hearts broke, a little scattered here and there in your mind. You hear the streets keep calling, keep bawling. Hootie hoo, one more time on the grind.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
22s in the lack, spinning street was DVDs in the rack. Now holla for show, and that's the playaways. Rolling rubber bands around stacks on cheddar day. Hey,
you got somebody.
You gotta move in here and there, and it's all about shot calling and bawling. What? Like you the leader of the Boy Scouts, protecting but neglecting to resurrect the feeling of security. You got it all wrapped up in them sacks without the hope of purity. And you need to know you're not alone, and the game affects more lives than your own. Now come on, come on. What then shall separate us from the love of God? I am fully persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor spiritual principalities in high places, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, not width, not depth, that nothing in all creation shall separate us from the love of God.
Hallelujah.
Things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you.
Oh, yeah,
keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. It's our turn. It's a new generation. And it's a new day. Now come on. You got somebody.
Just wait to see. You got somebody.
'Cause a new day is coming.
Take a look at your world, 'cause a new day is coming.
Hi everybody, this is Jason Dell with the Hollywood Report, and today you just got done listening to You Got Somebody from Kevin L. He's an R&B artist, and that's something that we're going to get into a little bit because you probably never heard of it, but we're going to make it known to the world today. Kevin L. is the half-brother to Sheila Ray Charles, daughter of the music icon Ray Charles. Everybody knows Ray Charles, and he's taking his years of music and praise and bringing it to the world. And so, Kevin, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. It's good to be on your program.
So how many
years?
Yes,
indeed.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Please.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So how many years have you been doing music?
Well, you know, it seems like forever. Growing up, as Ray Charles' stepfather, and just being around the music scene, and even in church, and just as a kid, we always sang and danced, and that was just a part of life. So it was very natural coming into just the business of music. So I'd say all my life.
Now describe what R&P is. I'm really interested in that and how it's boosted your career and what message you're trying to get out there.
Well, you know, realistically, I just wanted to come with a sound that I believe that would reach beyond the walls of the church and into the streets and into where the need is at. So many of our young people especially, you know, just don't have a sense of God, a sense of love. And it's such a violent time out now in the world. And I just think that it needs a call to order. And especially in music, when the lyrics are so effective in our society today and dictating you know, styles, trends, fashions, that then become lifestyles, and shameful as it is, it's a lot of negative reflection, violence, desensitizing, murder, relationships between a man and a woman. I mean, just it goes on and on and on, and music has that power and that impact. And so we wanted to bring a message that we call R&P, Rhythm and Praise, which is a mixture of R&B, feels good sound, hip hop, and gospel, and the fact that it means the good news. So, you know, the sound took off. The song You Got Somebody went to number 5 on Billboard chart, and it charted under R&B hip hop single sales. And so it was interesting to see that we could talk about the love and the power of God and talk about our relationship with Christ and about knowing that we have somebody watching over us and see it win out there. So it just says that the world is ready and thirsty for something, but it's got to be hot.
That's right. And I, you know, what I've always listened to with in terms of Christian music has been like pop, rock, and metal. Knowing that you do hip-hop and R&B, how is that changing the music world, and how are people accepting your music?
Well, I think that, you know, when you look at what Malia McKinney's doing with conscious music basically the Conscious Music Entertainment Group, is really setting a trend out there for what people are looking at. Even if it doesn't have a religious connotation to it, it's still people are wanting something that feels good and that's positive. They're you know, tired of the drain, and so what we do is we praise them. It feels good. We talk about winning because we are, and you know, that's something that people are gravitating to, and they're expecting more.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've been seeing a lot of stuff in the news nowadays, the attack on Christianity and any type of religion in general. Have you seen any outcries towards that? Have you seen a lot of backlash, and how are you dealing with that in this industry?
Well, the thing about it is that I recognize that as a system built to divide itself against itself. I mean, I don't mean to sound complicated, but I believe that we're all the children of God. I don't think anybody's bowing out or getting an exempt ticket on God. So play if you want to, but love is real, and God is large and in charge. And it takes man just being able to exist in his own mindset and what he can create to be able to play that game. But when the Katrina's hit, the reality seems to change. And it's sad to say, but the world that divides itself against itself are facing those realities with fear, where that's not what we're called to do, is to have a spirit of fear. And so that's why we do what we do, to empower those that understand the true nature of love and the responsibility that we have with music to send a sound. God said the power of life and death is in the tongue. So it's important what we say at all times. And I guess I do mean to take it to that level, but that's what I feel in my heart is the truth. And that's what R&P is about. It's about the truth. It's about joy. In fact, we got a song called Joy on the album. The album's entitled Sold Out, like your soul, S-O-U-L-E-D. And you can find it at soldoutcd.com. So it's like your soul out, cd.com.
Well, that's very interesting. And I know that the urban crowd, a lot of the younger crowd, they really embrace the hip-hop and R&B. How are they embracing your music? Have you seen a lot of, what type of feedback do you get from your fans?
Well, we get great feedback because, the sounds that we make are really catchy. I mean, by the time you get, 30 seconds into the song, you're singing the hook, or, it has, that appeal that we found from, every age, color, that they've really just said, wow, what a unique, different type of way to bring it. And it's been received greatly. And we've been, on stages with secular artists such as Trey Song to the Kirk Franklins and the people of the secular world. So, of the gospel community. So, it's just, it's really crossing those barriers. We certainly appreciate, people like yourself, Jason, and your program, because you help support, the sound R&P. We want to make it a new genre, rhythm and praise. R&P, get on it.
Well, I'm really glad that you are able to use your passion and your talents to bring out a new message for people and let them see things in a different light, that it's not always the same old, same old. How can people go ahead and get find out more about you, get your music, listen to your music, keep in touch with you?
Well, again, you can go to soldoutcd.com. SOULEDCD.com CME, Conscious Music Entertainment, and find out about that. We got a brand new thing coming out. You have to have me come back on, Jason, if you will. We've got a thing called Big Boys Club that's coming out. We got a single coming out, Big Boys. It's crazy. And it's just a lot of fun, and so that whole concept is coming out, and that's just, we're just working right in the hearts of the inner city, right where people don't want to go. Mm-hmm. We're going there with the music and much more, to bring in the ground control.
So, okay. Well, very good. We're almost out of time, so I'm going to say goodbye to you right now. But if anybody wants to listen to your music, go to soldoutcd.com and check it out, listen to it, give them feedback. You know, that's the stuff that keeps these artists doing what they need to do and doing what they love to do. Thank you, Kevin, for coming on the show with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jason. God bless you and your listeners.
You
too. Look out for the Big Boys Club. All right.
Will do. Thank you.
Are you in the terrible position of owing more than your real estate is worth? It just doesn't make sense to throw more good money after bad. At some point, it does make good sense to cut your losses. Don't count on failed government programs that in the end make your problem even worse. We are years away from a housing recovery. Disposing of it incorrectly could create disastrous tax consequences and ruin your credit. You could even pay income tax on the lender's loss. I'm Stuart Venner, president of the Wilshire Holding Group. With over 18 years' experience, we have the proven solution to your problem. A way to dispose of that upside-down property without incurring tax liability and minimize any negative credit. Don't walk away from the property. Call us first. Go to realtycrisis.com or call 877-94-HELP-ME. That's realtycrisis.com, realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Don't lie awake nights worrying. We're here to help you. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME. Realtycrisis.com, 877-94-HELP-ME.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Welcome back to the show. I've got a very, really important guest online. We're talking to Carol Maloney. Carol is an expert on a condition called aphasia. Aphasia actually hits 1 in 4 people after they've survived a stroke. And I think they have to learn to speak again, really. Is that right, Carol?
Yes.
Tell us what aphasia is exactly.
Aphasia is the inability to communicate. And it diminishes your cognitive, your reading abilities. It diminishes your organizational skills, and it diminishes communication. You have no way of communicating except I used to put my hand to my head and then to my mouth. So that, I was trying to say something, but nothing came out.
So you had a stroke, I understand, in what, 2009?
Yes.
And you recovered, obviously. And when did you discover that you had aphasia?
I had aphasia after the stroke. When I woke up from the stroke, I went to say something, and nothing came out. And at the same time, my head was spinning with all these thoughts and words, and I just couldn't get myself to organize the simple sentence. And then I couldn't speak it.
Oh, so goodness. They told
me I had aphasia.
And you say that 1 in 4 stroke survivors actually come down with this.
Right. Over 200,000 people a year are diagnosed with stroke-induced aphasia. And in some cases, it's very severe. And in other cases, it's very mild and not noticed. And people are walking around with aphasia just thinking, oh, it's because of my stroke, and they were never diagnosed with the disease.
So you really have to teach yourself like a baby, I guess, to talk again and to get your thoughts
right.
into words.
Right. They showed me a picture of a golden retriever, which I have, and I looked at it. I knew what it was, but I couldn't tell you what it was, and I couldn't speak what it was. In my mind, I recognized it, but I didn't know, oh, that's my golden retriever, and then to say the words, I couldn't say them.
So you did. So you made, like, funny noises.
Exactly. I do presentations at graduate level schools, and during the presentation, I purposely sit on my hands. And when I sit on my hands, my brain, the left side of my brain, basically shuts down. And when I speak, it's just various words that are coming out that make no sense.
Because, well, you know, I don't have aphasia, but I do. I've been accused of having funny noises come out of every orifice in my body.
And usually I have them crying, but when I try to go back into my rhythm, it takes me probably about 4 or 5 minutes, so they see what aphasia is and then how to actually bring yourself back to where you were.
Well, we're having a very normal, good, intelligent conversation.
Yes.
Which is unusual for me, but we are having a good conversation. So you have pretty much conquered this, or at least controlled it and arrested it.
I have a coping skill that I was taught when I was a teacher, and I was very animated as a teacher. And I told my therapist this, and what we did was for every syllable of every word, she would say the word, I would draw a line and repeat her. And we continued drawing lines for probably 7 or 8 weeks. And then we went from the pencil to my hand. And when I speak, like I'm speaking to you now, I move my hand for every syllable that I am speaking.
I see. So it's kind of like sign language while you're talking.
Right. If I get upset, if I get caught off guard, the aphasia will then kick in.
I see. So you have actually written a book, I understand, called Finding My Voice with Aphasia.
Right.
And this, I guess, would help a lot of people, 1 in 4 stroke victims anyway, survivors. And,
it has. I have some friends who have read it, and I have received emails from people who have read it, and they are amazed. One woman wrote that her husband had aphasia, and they couldn't find a solution for it. And she read my book, and now his speech is slowly coming back, and he can actually talk again.
That's amazing.
And I was floored. I framed the note. Because I said, oh my God, I helped one person, the book was worth it.
Of course. How long did it take for you to get your speech back?
Approximately 2 years.
So it's not an overnight process by any means.
is 2 years.
And how can people get this book? Because I think it's pretty darn important for everyone to know about.
Well, the book is on sale at Amazon.com, and you can order it at Barnes & Noble's, and they will send it to you.
All right. Again, everyone out there, we're speaking to Carol Maloney, and you can go to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble, and her book is Finding My Voice with Aphasia, and that's spelled A-P-H-A-S-I-A. And it's a pretty serious matter, so if, God forbid, you've had a stroke or know someone that has, and they've survived the stroke and they have this problem communicating and speaking, I recommend that you get this book, and maybe you can be like Carol and talk again. Carol, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show.
In closing our show, we're doing a tribute to Pascal Petrie. Pascal is our producer Jason Dowd's neighbor. And for Halloween, I think we need to play this song. Pascal is a very unusual man, and if you want to read more about him, I recommend you go to our website, stuartvenner.com, and click on events, and you'll hear the story of Pascal Petrie.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha! You thought it was a joke, and so you laughed. You laughed when I had said that losing you would make me flip my lid. Right? You know you laughed. I heard you laugh. You laughed, you laughed, and laughed, and then you left. But now you know I'm utterly mad. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. I cooked your food, I cleaned your house, and this is how you pay me back for all my kind, unselfish, loving deeds. Ha? Well, you just wait, they'll find you yet, and when they do, they'll put you in the ASPCA, you mangy mutt. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, to the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
I wet myself.
Aren't you ashamed?